The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It's a Friday night. Black and Abdallah till 7 o'clock here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776 because it's Friday night calls. All calls welcome with Black and Abdallah. It's our favorite night of the week on the show. You bring the best phone calls. We answer your questions. We talk about all kinds of different things, sports, Crocs, all kinds of different things. We may even get a call from Jane later on tonight.
Oh, so yeah. Who knows? That would be great.
Things are fantastic because it's a Friday night. Friday night calls. All calls welcome with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I do want to mention this at the start of the show. The Bulls win last night over the Knicks, 119-115. And how about that fourth quarter from DeMar DeRozan? 18 points in the fourth quarter. This dude is the go-to guy down the stretch for the Chicago Bulls. And once again last night, after the Knicks got back in it, he was the one to settle everything down and hit big buckets at the end of the game for the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you want to see. Like, yeah, they let the lead go. Okay, that happens in the NBA. Like, that's what happens in the NBA. Teams lose leads. Like, you won the first quarter, they tied the second quarter, and then the Knicks came out, and you knew they were going to make some adjustments, and they did. And they found a way to come back in the game. Like, teams, here's the thing. Some NBA teams will just throw in the towel at halftime and just be like, you know what, not tonight. Not Tom Thibodeau's teams. Like, Tom Thibodeau is going to coach those guys up and make sure they come back. And that's a good test for the Bulls. Like, that is a good test that to play a team that's not going to give up like that. And it was good to see them. You know, DeRozan played well, like you mentioned, in the fourth quarter. He was great, especially when you saw some of the other guys struggling, like Lonzo Ball struggling in the fourth quarter. I think he attempted 10 shots from the corner three in the fourth quarter and missed all of them, it seemed like. But you saw, like, everything that you want to see from this team went well yesterday, right? Like, you had Caruso with a great defensive turnover that kind of put the game away, essentially. Like, it was just great overall playing by the Bulls, except for letting go of the lead. But that happens. It's the NBA. Every team does that.
Zach LaVine, 27. You get 27 from Vucevic as well. You're right. Caruso down the stretch making big steals. Lonzo Ball playing great defense. You know, a little sloppy on the offensive end. Bust his ass down on the other end to then force a tough layup and a good defensive possession from Lonzo Ball. I mean, the defense from your guards are going to keep you in games almost every single night. And it's incredible to how good the defensive side of things are from Lonzo and Caruso that it also helps out guys like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, because they're not the best defenders in the league. They don't have to be. And no one needs them to be, because you have guys who are doing their part in playing their roles. And when you look at the way this team played, you know, you want to know how the Knicks got back into it. We look at the fourth quarter last night. The Knicks outscored the Bulls 22-4 points in the paint. 22-4 points in the paint in the fourth quarter. And that's how they kept in that game. And the difference, though, was the shooting from the Chicago Bulls and the shooting especially from DeMar DeRozan. So, I mean, it was just a really nice win on the road. The Bulls play the Nets tomorrow night in Brooklyn. The Nets play tonight against the Timberwolves. Timberwolves a little frisky this year.
Oh, yeah.
Young players, they're playing well, so we'll see how that goes. But the Nets are on a back-to-back. The Bulls get a day off to rest and get ready for the Nets. Good game tomorrow night. And I just wanted to point out what we saw last night, and also one other item. Remember last night on the show, we had a phone call trying to say that I was a Zach LaVine hater?
Well, you are.
So. Well, I'm not. I'm a realist, and I bring you factual information to back up the opinion when we look at the Bulls guard. Here's the thing, though.
Suspect.
Saw this earlier today, NBA.com. Our old teammate, our old friend, Michael C. Wright.
Oh!
Each week, he writes the Kia MVP ladder on NBA.com. Here's the list this week. Number one, Steph Curry. Number two, Kevin Durant. Number three, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number four, Nikola Jokic. Number five, Chris Paul. Okay, that's a fair conversation. He then lists off the next five. Number six is Jimmy Butler. Number seven is DeMar DeRozan, who we've seen earlier in the year in Michael C. Wright's column be in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? This week, he has Zach LaVine number eight.
Wow.
Here's what I'm going to point to for those who think I'm being a hater.
This is
what we need from both of these guys. If the Bulls can get two guys in the conversation for the MVP this year, really, the sky's the limit. It really is. It's a good column. Check out Michael C. Wright on NBA.com. But he has the MVP ladder. He now has Zach LaVine as number eight in the league on the MVP ladder.
No, and I think that's great because that's exactly what you need. Like, deep into these, like, yeah, a lot of regular season wins are cool. But we've always talked about it with this Bulls team before Karnaschovas took over, before Eversley took over. You need more than one star. And Zach can't do everything by himself. So when you add DeRozan, when you add Lonzo Ball, when you add Caruso, when you add these Vucevic, when you add these guys that each do different things and do many things well, then that helps your stars be better stars. They can be more selective with their shooting. Like, Zach has to do everything. Like they pointed out late in the game last night, right? Zach LaVine, towards the end of a shot clock, during end of a possession, shot clock was winding down. He could have easily pulled up for an off balance three, but instead he didn't, knowing that they needed to get to the back to get to the rim. He went to the rim. Yeah. Basket didn't go in, but he drew the foul. And so, but they were talking about it on the broadcast how a couple of years ago, even last year, Zach LaVine takes that off balance three just because he's like, well, we need to try to win this game and nobody else can score. So it's just me and I got to shoot because the clock is winding down. And oh my God, I got to shoot. Okay, here's an off balance three. But no. You do everything else, and then you learn and you get better as a basketball player, and that's exactly what he's doing.
All calls welcome, 312-332-3776. It's Friday Night Calls with Black and Abdallah. Nick and Gurney, you're up first. What's up, Nick?
Nick.
What's going on, fellas? How are we?
We're good. Everything good?
All good. Chris, all I am going to say is haters will say the list is fake. It is a fake list. So that's all I have to say on that. My reason for calling is what I was going to call in with about a month ago. We have a big sample size with Bill Lazor calling plays and Matt Nagy. So do you think it's fair to say that Bill Lazor calls plays to win a game rather than Nagy calling plays because it's his offense and it's what he wants to do?
Like Lazor's making the right decisions to win a football game, where Nagy's making stubborn decisions just to prove that he's an offensive genius?
Correct.
Yeah, I'd say that's possible.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that's very possible.
Well, because we just see it just so much in the run game. Ever since, like, I know, you know, the last couple weeks aren't exactly the best examples, but we've seen an increase in running a lot more of a more consistent blocking scheme, and I think that's more because Lazor's got a better feel for the game and Nagy's just kind of like going through his favorite playbook on what's his favorite plays instead of what'll really work.
Yeah, and Nick, I think that's a great point, and thank you for the phone call. I would also suggest that when Nagy's in charge, doesn't it seem like he never goes back to the well of something that worked previously in the game? It seems like they'll be in the fourth quarter, and there'll be a big spot, and instead of going to something that worked in the first quarter or in the first half or early third quarter, he then goes to a play that they haven't even tried. And maybe they're using a formation they haven't even used in the game to that point.
Yeah.
And then they'll either get a penalty because someone's just out of line, they don't really know, slow to get on the field, mm-hmm. delay of games coming down the pipe, and all this stuff. And it seems like Nagy doesn't know how to just get yardage based on things that are working.
No, and he doesn't find the weaknesses and take advantage of them. Like, you saw it when the Steelers came back against the Bears, right? What did they do? They went after Kendall Vildor over and over and over again. And it happened the week after that. You go after Kendall Vildor. The Ravens did the same thing. You go after Kendall Vildor over and over and over again. Like, you find the weakness and you exploit it. And that's what good coaches do. Bill Belichick does it all the time. Other good coaches find a weakness in a game plan and they expose it until you stop it. And if you don't, tough. Because we're just going to keep exploiting it. And Matt Nagy doesn't do that. He just keeps running these plays that don't make any sense. And you never find out what a team's weakness is. And so that you can't take advantage of that and exploit that and use it to your advantage.
Chris in Crown Point, all calls welcome. What's up, Chris?
guys. How's it going?
What up, man? What's up?
Hey, let me say, I love calling you guys because we're all the same age. But anyway, I wanted to say that Lawrence Taylor is the only rookie to have ever won Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. I have a bet for Micah Parsons, a $10 bet for him to win Defensive Player of the Year to win $1,000. Do you think there's any chance of him winning Defensive Player of the Year?
That's a tough question.
Well, right now, the favorite is Myles Garrett at plus 175. Micah Parsons is hands down the favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, he's like minus 2,000. Like, it's insane. Like, don't even bet it. No one else is going to catch him. I don't see him on the list for Defensive Player of the Year, though.
He has 10 sacks, 54 solo tackles, 2 forced fumbles. 12 games played for Micah Parsons and the Cowboys.
Am I blind?
I bet it some time ago, but I just wanted to get your guys' opinion, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, good call, Chris. Call again. You know, off the top of my head, outside of Myles Garrett, I don't know if I can really think of someone that jumps off the page like Micah Parsons has.
No, and he's playing really, really well. And like I said, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year for a rookie. But I don't know why he also wouldn't be listed for Defensive Player of the Year.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. All calls welcome. Friday night calls. When we come back, our friend Mitchell is on the line. Mm. Oh, wait. Mo's there, too? Oh, this can be good.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah. ESPN 1000. And now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
With Black and Abdallah, all calls welcome, 312-332-3776. You ready for this, Abdallah?
I'm always ready to talk to Mitchell. Always. Always.
We go to Mitchell in Des Plaines. Mitchell, you're on ESPN 1000.
Oh, how you doing there, Team Gemini, Team Sagittarius? First of all, there is a solar eclipse. Oh. New moon in Sagittarius this morning, early this morning, around 1:43 a.m. Great time for setting some new intentions. It's a new cycle. So look for some new opportunities, new developments, also new beginnings in a lot of different facets. You don't have to be a Sagittarius, but it is in your sign. So, you know, this is going to shine very brightly on you specifically. Also,
thanks for the information. I'll make some lists or something.
Yes, this is the time to make 10.
I'm getting old now.
No, you got to make 10 intentions, but you have to do it after like 1:43 a.m., which I'm sure you'll be asleep. So do it in the morning, and you'll see what happens.
It's Friday night, Mitchell. You don't know me.
No, I'm saying is that you want to
show in the morning. Get some sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Get some sleep, but just do your intentions.
That's gonna stop me.
Go ahead, Mitchell. We're sorry.
All right.
We interrupted
all right, no
you.
Problem. I want to ask you guys about two things. One, first of all, with the Bears, given the nature of all the drama that happened, there was no, of course, accountability. There's no consequences. Obviously, it'd be hysterical if Nagy gets an extension after all this drama. That would be hilarious. But the bottom line is this. If on Sunday the Cardinals come into town, even though if the weather is looking to be really poor and whatnot, but they do a total blowout, does that have any repercussions to Nagy, or does he get a free pass between now until the end of the season?
I think he gets a pass until the end of the year. I don't think firing him on Monday does anything for, like, to me, the decision should already be made and just coach out the season and be done with it.
Okay, so with all these reports that were obviously erroneous, it was a ruse. Do you think that Nagy on some level realizes that maybe behind the scenes he was told something, or are we led? Because I haven't seen an official report that says he's going to be fired other than everybody in the media speculating that he's going to be fired, because there's a difference. If there's a tangible, concrete report that says that Nagy's going to be fired, I would take that. All I'm hearing is that the person who said it was going to happen didn't happen. So where's the report, folks, about him getting fired?
I think it was an erroneous report. I agree with you.
Erroneous.
Erroneous.
That's I want to establish that because people throw around journalism so loosely in this particular town, it's nauseating.
Not this show, Mitchell.
We get to the bottom of it. Not this show.
I agree. You guys have been very responsible, especially, you know, your station, but I can't say that for everybody. But the bottom line is that, you know, you don't know who to believe. That's my point. I mean, if you're just going to basically throw stuff out there and then when it doesn't happen, it's kind of like, you know, how many times can we cry wolf? You know what I mean? From a journalistic perspective. You know what I mean? So I want to get to this point real quick. Mm-hmm. Van Halen, right? Obviously has seen the end of their career. Reports have come out by Rolling Stone, other places, that the Van Halens wanted to suppress the Sammy Hagar era to the point where Sammy's talking about it publicly in a lot of the interviews that he does. He does a lot of interviews, which I like. I wanted to ask you guys, I don't know if you guys were really big into Van Halen. I don't know if that was a little bit before your time. But do you think on some level when Roth came back into the fold in 2007, for the Mighty Van Halen, as they kicked out Michael Anthony, which I thought was really bad, the bass player, so that, you know, Wolfie Van Halen's son could play bass. Do you think that it was a conscious decision on the part of the Van Halen team to really basically say, we're going to erase all the history of the Van Hagar era? Please.
Yeah, I don't think that sits well, because I enjoyed some of the Hagar era.
I think that first album, 51, yeah, 50, produced by...
It's cool.
Obviously that, that's
Van
the guy
from Foreigner. Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as the original lineup, but I liked some of it.
I think that first album was very good. It was well produced. A lot of those songs were already written with Roth at 5150 before he took off to go make his movie. That was the reason for the breakup. And when Hagar stepped into it, there's some songs, of course, he brought to the table. But like Summer Nights, they had already recorded that. That was already in the can. The lead guitar player from Foreigner, Mick Jones, he produces 5150, and then about 4 months later, Roth puts together this all-star band, the Eat 'Em and Smile Tour, which was really successful. So I always thought the Roth, classic Roth, had a lot more staying power. They sold basically 50% more in album sales versus the Hagar era, although Hagar says they had more number one albums. Well, that doesn't really mean they made more money. They just had more number one albums with Hagar. But Roth era, you know, Van Halen won all the way till 1984. Okay, those albums sold 50% more than their entire count. I mean, Van Halen won in 84 basically are their top sellers. So it's a very interesting debate. The Roth classic era made more money hands down by 50%. Okay, for those that want to do the math, Hagar had more number one albums, but that doesn't translate in terms of money. You guys get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it down. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, listen, I'm going to wrap it up. You guys enjoy your weekend. And, you know, Team Sagittarius and all those other people out there, write down these intentions. It's a new moon. It's a solar eclipse. And the effect can last up to 6 months. And that is the bottom line.
Thank you, Mitchell. Have a great weekend.
You too, Team Gemini. Have a good one.
That's Mitchell and Displains. Did you get those facts written down there, Abdal?
Yeah, next time we do a Van Hagar song, I won't be here.
All right. Mo in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000. Did you get that down, Mo?
Hey, honey, can you give me some Tylenol? My head's spinning. Hey, Abdal, can you tell me about the Hagar? Because I know you follow Hagar a lot, right?
Nope.
Okay, sounds good. Anyways, so let me just tell you a story, right? So, back in the day, Jay Cutler Day. Do you guys remember that? It was around April 1st, right? We thought it was fools, you know. We got Jay Cutler. We're like, oh, wow. You know what broke Jay Cutler? The Bears franchise. How many offensive coordinators did he have back to back to back to back? Seven or six, right? So when Jay Cutler today on the Waddle and Sylvie show said bench Justin Fields for the rest of the season, mm-hmm, he meant if Nagy, and he said it, he said, if Nagy comes back, then yes, play him. If Nagy's gone, sit him. There's no reason for ruining someone. I kind of agree with that. At first, I agreed with Waddle and Sylvie the whole time, but then when Jay Cutler said it, boom. I was like, okay. A little story behind the fact, and then you guys can comment, and then I'm going to hang up. So my wife and I, she's like, you know, she's a huge Bears fan. Bigger than me, I think. I don't know, maybe. But we used to walk to downtown Frankfurt, and we used to play a Jay Cutler show on Waddle and Sylvie. We used to just play it walking there. And then it ended up being the Brandon Marshall show. And I know you guys were around that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're definitely here. Yeah.
Beautiful shows. They just let it all out. And now this Cutler show, I love it even better. The whole story about him, what's his name, kicked him off the ski ramp. What's his name? His coach called him and told him, what are you doing? He's like, I'm skiing. He's like, go home.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. He told that story. Yeah, for sure, Mo. I'm with you, Mo. Yeah. Those were beautiful shows. I agree with you. Do you any notes from yesterday?
No. You know why? Because as soon as I hung up, I put the game on and I cooked some dinner and I was like,
"What'd you have for dinner?"
Beautiful Parmesan chicken. So I make it. I cook it all from scratch.
I like Parmesan chicken.
Chicken parm. Is it Parmesan chicken or do you call it chicken parm? What do you call it?
Chicken parm?
No, Parmesan chicken.
Parmesan. Is that different than chicken parm?
I don't know. It's tomato, tomato, I guess. I don't know.
No, one's chicken parm, one's parm chicken.
Any notes from earlier in the day, Mo, from chicken, the shows parm, that you listen to here on ESPN 1000?
I mean, if you guys want to hear them,
all calls welcome, my friend.
I got nothing but time.
That's what we do.
Listening throughout the show, Cap and Hoodie and then Carm and Yurko. Anyway, so I got these. I got the Buccaneers over the Falcons. I got the Cardinals over the Bears. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, hopefully it's wrong, but anyways, you want to make some money. I got the Chargers over the Bengals. Now that's an underdog. Vikings over the Lions, easy. Dolphins over the Giants, they're done. Eagles over the Jets. Colts over the Texans. The Washington football team over the Raiders. That's going to be a good one. Rams over the Jaguars. Ravens over the Steelers. No, the Steelers over the Ravens. I think the Steelers are going to come back. 49ers over the Seahawks. That's easy. Chiefs over the Broncos. Easy. Bills over the Patriots. That's going to be a tough one, but they're playing at the Bills, and I think the Bills need to come back. Anyways, I got all these notes from listening to your guys' shows throughout the day.
All right, good stuff. That's good info.
And Dan Weeder. Take care, guys.
What's for dinner tonight, Mo?
Leftovers?
Well, tonight?
Yeah. Leftover Parmesan chicken?
I don't know. I think I just got myself under. Oh, you guys got to try it. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm. It's the spicy sandwich. Beautiful.
All right. Is it a spicy chicken sandwich, or is it really just a chicken sandwich with spicy mayo on it?
So what I'm doing, I went to Popeye's, I went to KFC, I went to McDonald's.
Oh, you're having a little taste test. Little
challenge.
All right.
Yeah, so I taste these things out.
Which one's your favorite?
Okay. Mine so far is the Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwich. It just beat out Popeye's.
Have you tried the Chick-fil-A one?
Oh, it's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but the spicy version.
Have you tried Chick-fil-A?
Of course.
Where do you rank that one?
Well, I like the sauciness of the other ones. That one I think is a little dry.
See, I don't like the sauce. I like it when the chicken is spicy and not the sauce is spicy.
Yeah.
That's why I like Wendy's, because the chicken is spicy in Wendy's, not the sauce.
Okay, so you know what? And I'm going to...
Wendy's is the OG.
Well, because what you're doing,
Wendy's
Mo,
spicy chicken sandwich,
what you're doing, if it's
OG.
Not, essentially you're just eating spicy mayo.
Yeah.
You're right. You know what? You're so right. However...
Boom. You're right.
However.
You're right.
However, I see what you're saying, but sometimes I want the little sauce. And the sauce that I want, I don't want no mustard, I don't want no ketchup. Just give me that spicy sauce and put it on the chicken.
Just give me that sauce.
You ever get that sauce on the side?
No, I'm driving. No, but however, if you go to get the chicken wings, the buffalo, or not the buffalo chicken wings, but the spicy chicken wings from KFC, mm-hmm. It's exactly what you're saying, Abdullah. It's a dry seasoning, but the chicken is spicy. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give it a shot. Anyways, guys, I told you I was going to call you back today. You guys have a great weekend, and then let's have a Bears Monday win, huh?
Probably not, but we'll talk to you then.
It's okay. I already bet against them. So it's like I hedged.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Boom, boom, boom.
Tomorrow, join us in Oak Brook at Twin Peaks for Chicago's College Tailgate. It's our final show of the season. We'll be talking college football, we'll be drinking Coors Light, watching college football as well. Black and Abdallah tomorrow in Oak Brook, Twin Peaks, Chicago's College Tailgate at 11 a.m. from 11 to 1. We'll be hanging out at Twin Peaks, so come on, hang out with us. It's our final show of the season. Can't wait.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be awesome. There's the Pac-12 championship game tonight. Then you've got the, what's first? The Big 12 championship starts at 11. Then you've got 3 o'clock, the SEC championship and AAC championship. And then you've got
the Big 10. Is at night.
The Big
and then,
10.
The ACC is the last game of the evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's going to be great. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for the pain. I'm just ready for it.
I see what you're doing.
Ready for the pain.
Mo, are you still there? Mo? No, Mo. Mo left us. Okay, all right.
Hamid!
Mark in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
What's going on?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I got a question about the Bulls. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but next year I believe they have 2 first-round picks if the Portland thing plays out. Do you think that they would trade one of those for their necessity as a big man in the at the deadline? Because I feel that's the thing that they're missing the most.
I don't think that they would trade picks that they don't have yet for any big men that would be of any difference make. Like, you're trading for depth. You're not going to get a star because you have Vucevic. Like, you're not going to get some guy that's going to be like, oh, well, we're starting him over Vucevic now. Like, that's not how it's going to work. You're getting depth. So, like, what do you... I don't know what people think they're going to trade for.
I would also ask, is Portland going to make the playoffs? Because that pick, the Portland pick, is lottery protected.
Yeah.
And Portland just fired their GM today.
Yeah.
Neil O'Shea. So, and they've kind of been on the outskirts of the playoffs.
And how long is Dame going to be out for?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I also think in the Bulls situation right now, I don't think they have to make a move. I think you wait and see how things kind of develop throughout the season. And then you kind of figure out, you know, to be honest, the way this team is playing right now, wouldn't you rather have younger, cheaper assets? Because you're going to have to offer Zach LaVine a max contract.
Yeah.
I don't know if giving away number one draft picks is really worth it at this moment.
So. No, because you want those, and then when those become more valuable, that's when you move
on. Well, yeah, and then you hold on to it until there's a disgruntled superstar, and then you use your first-round draft picks to then try and land that guy. Frank in the Ukrainian Village. Frank, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. I want to talk about Bulls, and the stats that you brought up about LaVine and DeRozan are outstanding. Like, that kind of fourth quarter domination hasn't been seen since Jordan's days. But, like, just a week ago, straight up, Dame for Zach, right?
Don't do this again.
Come on, Frank. You're better than that. I'm taking the words from David Kaplan in the morning. You're better than that.
I'm not making up the words. You said straight up right now.
Straight up.
I was asked a question.
Straight up. Now tell me.
I was asked a question.
Is it really going to be Zach for Dame?
Who's the hater?
I was asked a question, Frank, on the air. A caller called and said, he said, who would the Bulls have to give up to acquire Damian Lillard? And my response was Zach LaVine. That's just how it works.
Then you were asked by your very loyal partner.
He's not very loyal.
Straight
up right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Straight up.
You said yes.
Now tell me.
Frank, you're lying to yourself if you don't think that that's a correct answer.
Is he gone?
Frank, you there?
I'm here. I didn't hear your question.
You're lying to yourself if you think that straight up you'd rather have Zach LaVine over Damian Lillard.
Straight up, I'd have Zach right now. Dame's burnt out, dude. It's done.
Burnt out. Come on, please.
Straight up burnt now, out. Tell me.
Dude,
all right.
Up.
Is it going to be you and Zach forever?
Go back. 4 out of the last 5 years, he's lost in the first round. Last summer, he lost his starting position. Well, he didn't lose his starting position.
No.
He lost the closing position on the Olympic team. This start of the season, he's been a joke. and now he can't even stay healthy. Like, he's going to demand a trade. Someone's going to have to someone's going to have to pay to take his salary.
I disagree with you on that. I think many teams would want Damian Lillard around the league. I mean, we're sitting like a year and a half away from people thinking that he was like a top seven player in the entire NBA.
Hmm.
All right, Frank. Frank hung up. For the record, I did not hang up on Frank.
You did not hang up on Frank.
All right.
You dumped him, but you did not hang up on him.
Well, yeah, because he
almost said the F word.
Derek in Carroll Stream, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, boy?
Hey,
before I get to my point, I just got to say, for one of these times when you guys do an event, I got to get together with Mo, man. He seems like a cool dude to party with. Just,
tomorrow. I'm you driving. Guys got to come out tomorrow.
Come on tomorrow. Twin Peaks, Oak Brook.
Well,
let's
do this. Of course, I got to work tomorrow. I'd love to be there.
Lame.
It's
kind of
an old home game for me. That's the old neighborhood. So
nice.
But I wanted to say earlier you were talking about the caller called in about Micah Parsons for the Defensive Player of the Year. I'm with you, Abdallah. He's no doubt the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't Trayvon Diggs be ahead of him, his own teammate?
Oh, well, I mean,
what's he got, like 7-8 interceptions already?
I'm just looking at the odds. I found the odds for him to be Defensive Player of the Year, and it was like 20-1. But he's like minus 2,000. You'd have to bet $2,000 right now to win $100 for him to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. So, like, I'm just looking at the odds. Like, I'm not arguing who's better, who's not. I'm just looking at the odds on FanDuel, and it says, like, the dude is going to win it already.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Is Diggs on that list?
I got to call it back up here. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic.
I'm guessing I'm thinking he'd be. I mean, how many defensive backs get that many interceptions, don't win?
No, you're right. You're right. I just have to call it back up here.
Double digits.
Yeah. Trayvon Diggs is 4-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He's second.
Yeah, so he's
second right behind Myles Garrett at plus 175.
And he pulls into like 3-4 more of them, and he's going to be probably neck and neck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's still a lot of season left for him to take over Myles Garrett. I was just surprised that Micah Parsons was so far down at 20-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. He's having a hell of a season.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, keep up the show, guys. Love it.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Derek. Appreciate you. Brandon in Maryville. What did you start?
I didn't do anything.
What's up, Brandon? What's going on, man?
I'm defending you.
No, would you really take Damian Lillard over Zach LaVine right now?
Straight up, now tell me, Chris. Is it really going to be Dame over Zach?
I'm going home.
Chris, please. I just want to hear. I want to hear why.
Wait, hold on. Why wouldn't you?
Are y'all just having fun?
Okay, I'll tell you why. One, because Zach
What has Zach done to this point to merit that he is better than Damian Lillard?
For a career, not much.
Exactly.
Okay. But listen, you said we're talking right now. If you were to tell me 5 years ago, Damian all day for sure. But Zach is 5 years younger. Zach fits a lot better with this team. If you bring in Damian Lillard, who's handling the ball? Dame?
Yeah, he or DeRozan, like they are right now.
But what about Zoe? What's Lonzo going to do? Dame's
He doesn't handle the ball now.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. In the fourth quarter, DeMar DeRozan's bringing the ball up the court, or Zach LaVine is.
Okay, but
Lonzo goes and stands in the corner and waits to get the pass for the corner three.
No, I'll give you that. I agree. At times, he does need to fit in better, but he's still a good.
Well, I'm not saying that doesn't fit. That's exactly the role he needs to be in. But the point is Lonzo Ball is not the one bringing the ball up in the fourth quarter. That is not the situation.
But would you consider Dame a point guard? You know what? Never mind.
He's a lead guard.
It's a positionless league. I get you.
Yeah.
But Zach's also 5 years younger, more explosive, and a killer in the fourth quarter. Damian is falling off. Like if you watch from last year to this year, and like Frank said, he didn't even make the Olympic team.
Yeah. How about that? Can't even represent the country.
What are you guys talking about? The Olympic team.
How about that?
Hey, Zach made it.
Am I crazy? Lillard was on the Olympic team.
This year?
Yes.
This Olympic year?
Yes.
This year?
Kyrie's the one that didn't play.
Straight up.
You guys are all losing your mind.
Now tell me.
But you'd still rather have Dame?
Now I have to look up the Olympic team for you guys?
No, we don't have time for this. We don't have a lot of time tonight. We don't have time for this. Chris is a LaVine hater. End of discussion. Game over.
What is going on here?
That's what I was getting at. Rossetti there.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Brandon, you're awesome.
And the ESPN Chicago
app. Guys, see you.
What is going on here? Damian Lillard was on the Olympic team.
Okay, cool. Congratulations. What do you want, a cookie?
Well,
I'll buy you one of those
lightning
sticks outside. I'll buy you one of those light sticks outside.
And then, Brandon.
He's gone. Zach's Stop yelling at him.
Zach's the killer at the end of the game. Damian Lillard? Are you serious?
Dame time.
Apparently, it's not good enough.
Dame time.
Apparently, his time's run out.
Do you know what time it is? It's time for Song of the Night.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This song is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Check out the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Come hang out with us tomorrow, Chicago's College Tailgate in Oak Brook at Twin Peaks at 11 a.m. Also, thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Let's get to the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We're running out of time. Tonight's Song of the Night is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, and Indiana, plus more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com. STP, Dead and Bloated from 1992.
December 3rd is the anniversary of the day that Scott Weiland passed away at the age of 48 in 2015. Like, is he... I don't want to say, because I don't know it off the top of my head. Like, from this era, is he like the last... He's like the last rock star, right? Like, the true, like... I mean, because think about it, like, what Dave Grohl... Like, Dave Grohl's become, like, the dad. Like, he's the rock dad.
Yeah. Well, and from that generation, it was Lane Staley of Alice in Chains. It was Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. Mm-hmm. You had Billy Corgan.
Eddie Vedder's like
Pumpkins,
everybody's uncle
Eddie
now.
But yeah, from this era, and not only was Stone Temple Pilots one of my favorite bands, but this song specifically, Dead and Bloated, one of my all-time favorite STP songs.
Like, obviously, it took his life. But he was the only one of them to be like, nah, F you, man. Drugs and rock and roll, I don't care.
Yeah,
like everybody else was just like, you know what? 40
started to get sober,
is probably
started to tone it
like,
down.
Yeah, we should stop this. And he was like, nope. Harder. Harder now. And it obviously it cost him his life. And like he went on and he was doing Velvet Revolver because Stone Temple Pilots, like he was in and out of Stone Temple Pilots and they tried to tour and they couldn't. And then he went back to Velvet Revolver. And then I believe he went back to Stone Temple Pilots and that's when he passed away.
He was, I'm reading here, he was on tour with a band called Whereabouts.
Okay.
Is that not, is that Wildabouts?
Wildabouts, okay.
Wildabouts. That's who he was with when he passed away. But, you know, I never saw him with STP, but I saw him with Velvet Revolver.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome.
Also, this song has no meaning. It is just stream of consciousness, he said. He was at 21 when he wrote it. Don't have a whole lot of experiences. It's more just about the vibe and the angst, that kind of thing.
Oh, such a great vibe. It's a Friday night vibe. Believe that we've almost gone through an entire year of Song of the Nights, and this is the first Stone Temple Pilots song we've selected.
Yeah. I mean, I said, should we do Velvet Revolver or should we do STP? But we chose STP, obviously.
Of course, you got to. This is how most people fell in love with Scott Weiland.
I mean, we could go deep into that kind of stuff, but people are asking, have we done Deftones before? No, we haven't done Deftones. Roderick James brings up a big point. The last rock star is Kanye West. Let's not. Kanye West is the last I don't care about anything.
That's probably true.
I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
I can see that. Jim, thanks for calling tonight. We didn't have time to get you guys on because we are up against it. The Pac-12 championship game. Oregon and Utah is coming up here on ESPN 1000.
Such, tweet me your sneaker question. I will answer it.
It's Black and Abdallah. It's the song of the night. STP, Dead and Bloated from 1992.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Talk to you tomorrow at 11.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.